morning. I would like all the veterans to please stand up. Veterans in active duty. Now I would like all their spouses to stand up. All the spouses. All the children of someone who served this great country of ours. All the children, please stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for these brave men and women and their families, because the families sacrificed so much also. Thank you for letting there be courageous people who are willing to put it all on the line so that we may gather and do what we do here this morning. Lord, bless them and bless their families. May your hand of favor be upon them and a hedge of protection around them and the ones who are still serving. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to thank everyone who's here today. Mary and I travel a good bit in the summer, and things change while we're away. And there's a lot of new faces here, people I don't know. My name is Brent, for those that don't know me, and I look forward to meeting those of you I don't know and getting to know you. It's an honor for me to be able to stand up here from time to time and talk to you about what God has put on my heart. I thank the leadership of this church for being open to allowing people to do that. I'm going to call upon some extra help today. When Pastor Dave inquired about whether I was able to speak today, his message was, you know, are you available? Do you have anything that you could present on November 12th? November 12th sounded like a long time away, and then I realized it was only a week. But I said yes right away because I had this message, a message that I put together probably close to 2 years ago now, called Old Weak Eyes. I love this message. I'm the only one that's ever heard it. Because each time I get an opportunity to speak, something else comes up that I feel is more important. And Old Weak Eyes is a message about rejection and how to deal with it and how not to let rejection alter your life. And I kind of find it ironic that I keep rejecting a message on rejection. Because the title of today's sermon is Don't Stop at the Cross. Last week, Dave started a message about the cross and what happened on the cross and what it means to us. If you weren't here last week, please, by all means, get a CD or go online and listen to the podcast. And he's going to continue on with that message. And in no way do I want to say or do anything today that lessens the importance of that message. Because it is all about the cross and what Jesus did on it. So for that reason, you know, I'm flooded with a bunch of emotions and thoughts and feelings, and they're all right here, and I don't really know how to get them from here to here and out of my mouth. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. The closest thing I can describe it is, have you ever been in just head over heels in love? And you had all those feelings in there, and you're thinking about all the things you were going to say to this person when you meet up with them, and you know, a million ideas and thoughts, and when you finally have the opportunity, when you finally get with this person, you open your mouth and all that comes out is, sup. That's kind of how I feel. But in the book of Acts, it talks about the day of Pentecost, and it says with a sound like, it sounded like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit came on, and he came upon the disciples, and they started to speak in tongues. And a lot of times that's where that message ends, but if you keep reading on, there's something very peculiar, and I find it very interesting in the way that it's worded in the different translations. It said that there were many people from many nations, many cultures that spoke many different languages. And it said they heard the word of God being spoken in their own language. But it doesn't say that it was being spoken in their own language. It said they heard. See, I believe the miracle of Pentecost was just as much the anointing of the disciples and them speaking in tongues, but I think that just as much, maybe even more importantly, was the Lord touched those listening in a way that they could hear and understand His Word. So I call upon the Holy Spirit today to touch my tongue, anoint my lips, to allow me to speak the things that you've stirred up inside of me, but more importantly, Lord, touch the ears of those who hear and let them hear what your Spirit has to say to them today. No matter what I say, let your Spirit speak to them today. In Jesus' name, amen. See, I started thinking about the cross. And how it's everywhere. It's on top of buildings. It's on the walls of buildings and in houses. It's on tattoos. It's on t-shirts and hats. It's on necklaces. You see the cross everywhere, and it's recognized around the world as the symbol for Christianity and Christians. And as my mind often does, I began to wonder, why is that the symbol? There were a lot of people crucified on a cross. And I started thinking, you know, it shouldn't be the cross that's our symbol. It should be the empty tomb. And I thought I was onto something. And I'm thinking, I'm the guy. I'm the guy to bring forth this empty tomb movement. And I'm going to have t-shirts, and I'm going to have necklaces and hats. And I used to take art lessons 40 years ago. So I got to work, and I started designing my symbol for this, what's going to be known as the globally recognized symbol for the empty tomb movement. And I drew the empty tomb, or the tomb, and then I drew the hole of the entrance showing that it was empty. And I stood back and I looked at it and said, it looks like a donut. I actually pictured myself walking through a store and having someone come up to me because I got my empty tomb necklace on and saying, dude, donuts, I love donuts. I'm like, no, it's an empty tomb. So I think we'll settle with the symbol as being the cross. But really, how can you separate the two? Because it's the empty tomb that made the difference from all those others who died on the cross. But yet, isn't that what many of us do? Yeah, Jesus died on that cross. He died for our sins. It's through Him that we receive our salvation. He paid the price. He suffered on that cross for each and every one of us. See, the cross, it's already dealt with our past. You know, it's covered all of our sins. What we think of the future to the cross is really still our past. It's done. It's over and done with. It is finished. And the cross, it deals with our eternity, our salvation, the fact that we get to go and join the Father in heaven forever. And we get to come back to this earth with Jesus and reign and rule forever. But what about the present? See, I believe it's the empty tomb that deals with the present. But when I observe people, when I listen to them, when I talk to them, when I see what's going on in their lives, it seems like so many of them have stopped at the cross. I look at their lives. Of people who are Christians, they're believers in Jesus Christ. But their life after they've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior really doesn't look that much different or sound that much different than it did before they made that decision. It's like they just roll with life's punches and feel its pain. Many, many are living depressing, uninspired, boring, unsatisfying lives. They go around mumbling and grumbling about life and all its little problems. Does that sound familiar? I know it does for me. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our salvation is secure. But it's like, okay, is that it? Okay, now I just have to wait till I die? Wait till Jesus returns? Before I receive the benefit? No. No, I don't think that's true. Some go from church to church looking for this feeling, this some sort of satisfaction that they think they're going to find in a church that really you can only come and find from within. And you only find it within by living out the promises that come from that empty tomb. While his body was in the grave, the Spirit of Jesus was at work defeating the wicked powers of Satan's kingdom, taking back the authority that Adam had relinquished in the Garden of Eden. The resurrection provides for us the empowerment to live in grace, to live in victory and freedom in this life. Jesus didn't stop at the cross. So why do so many believers stop seeking more once they receive their eternal security? During the 3 days he was in the grave, Jesus restored our authority in this lifetime. When God originally created Adam, Adam was given authority over everything on the earth. When Adam obeyed Lucifer in the Garden of Eden, he lost that authority and essentially made mankind subject to the rule of Satan. Jesus called Satan the god of this world. However, when Jesus rose from the grave, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. I have the keys of hell and of death." Jesus already had that authority in heaven. Now he has it on earth. And the next thing he said to his disciples was, "Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations." The empty tomb, it makes us more than conquerors. Jesus said we have the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy. This is available to us on this side of heaven. So why would you stop at the cross? If you stop at the cross, you miss the opportunity to enjoy the glory of God in this life. After he rose from the grave, he empowered us through the Holy Spirit and sat down at the right hand of God to intercede on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if we receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we can reign in this life. That's the power of the empty tomb. Don't stop at the cross. Don't be satisfied with only having eternal security. I say only like that's not something big. It's huge. I understand that. But there's so much more. You're leaving half of it on the table if that's where you stop. Seek the authority of God that's provided through the grave and resurrection. Seek the grace available to overcome all of the challenges in this world. Seek the peace, the joy, and the promise of the resurrection. God doesn't want us to be miserable until we meet him in heaven. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you. Peace and joy should be within you." We are the light of this world that draws other people to God. People are not drawn to misery, but to joy and to peace. Receive the full work and gift of Christ's redemption. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You don't have to wait till you die physically to experience this glory. We are changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. Seek that glory today. It's the empty tomb. The empty tomb that sets Jesus apart from anyone else who ever lived. It's one of the signs, one of the symbols of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. From the virgin womb to the empty tomb, Jesus checked off every box. And where's my songwriters? That's a million-dollar lyric right there. From the virgin womb to the empty tomb, he fulfilled them all. Many were crucified, only one rose. That's our assurance of how we know that what he said was going to take place on that cross really happened. Because death did not defeat him. He rose. It's proof that his word is true. Jesus' death and resurrection revealed his true purpose in coming to the earth. He came to reveal God's grace and makes his rights available to us through faith. Jesus provided the ultimate verification of his authority to give us life and life more abundantly. That verification was the empty tomb. He rose from the dead. Praise God. The resurrection of Jesus authenticates our ability to be victorious in our Christian walk. Romans 6:8 says, yet not so much that we are able to in our own strength, but in the power of the resurrected Christ, we have obtained spiritual power to overcome our old way of life. It's saying your old man is dead. Your old man died at the cross with Jesus. But if you want to live, you got to move beyond the cross. Romans 6:8 through 10, it relays the truth of our empowerment. It says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, but the life that he lives to God. We too have that position. From our faith in Christ, we are resurrected into the new life. We are not left to our own devices. With the spectacular miracle of the resurrection came an awesome gift. Romans 8:11 exclaims, but if the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, the God who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. So how do we get there? How do we go from the cross to living the promises of the empty tomb? Yeah, part of it's reading and understanding the promises and what they are and claiming them for their own. But, you know, I believe a major part of it, I think the way to really gain that understanding is through discipleship. Our elder, Ron Mentzer, had given me a couple things to read, some blog posts that he has written, but I don't think he has published them yet. And the one of them is entitled, Are You a Christian or a Disciple? He could have easily named this post, Don't Stop at the Cross. Romans 10:9 states that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the cross. That's the promise of the cross. But some of the last words that Jesus said before he went back to the Father in heaven were found in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. To make disciples, we must first become disciples. A disciple is a follower of Jesus or a student of Jesus. When we've been commissioned by him to go and make disciples, who, if obedient to the teachings in Jesus, in turn should be making more disciples. As a disciple of Christ, we should not only be a reflection of who Jesus is, but we should be teaching others how to be a reflection of Jesus as well. We will produce fruit after our own kind, just as any seed-bearing plant would. That's just some highlights of what Ron wrote, and I've asked Ron to put this up on the Tree of Life website and then teach us how to get there and see it. Because I read a lot of stuff written by a lot of people, and the things I've read from Ron Mentzer is as good as anyone's. And it's important that you read what Ron has to say. We learn by doing. We receive by giving. To move beyond the cross requires action upon on our part. It requires us not just becoming disciples, but making disciples. Take a look around the room. What I want you to pay particular attention to is I want you to notice all the empty seats. I was in business for 30 years where I was responsible for the profitability of a department for a while and then multiple departments. Then at near the end, the entire business. And the owner of the company always called me his bean counter because that's the eyes I look through things. It's very tempting to see the empty seats and become discouraged and worried and think about where do we have enough people coming in to pay all the bills and just all those things that man's mind comes up with. And I ask myself, so whose responsibility is to fill those seats? Is it the pastor's? No, I really think the pastor's job is to shepherd us, to teach us to become those disciples and equip us to go out into the world and make new disciples. The elders? You could say that it's the elders' job to oversee the business of the church, but really the elders' job is the same as the pastor's. To equip us to go out. So I know who's responsible. It's those worship leaders. Yeah. They should be playing the kind of music that makes people want to come in and no. Worship leader's job is to lead us in worship. Not to entertain us, but to lead us in worship. And I love the worship here at Tree Life. I love the different styles and personalities and types of music. I enjoy all that. So whose responsibility is it to fill those empty seats? You're already guessing it. It's yours and mine. We are called to be the disciples. We are called to reach out. Now, see, I want to change the way that we see these empty seats. It's only taken me over half a century to start changing the way I start to see things. See, I don't want us to see these empty seats as something negative, as a problem, because these seats are an opportunity. Because each and every one of us can sit here right now and fill our hands with the names and faces of people that we know who would benefit greatly by being in one of these empty seats. People that need to hear the great teaching that pastor brings to us each and every week. People who need to come and learn how to worship and become intimate with God. People who just need to come and gather with people like you who will love on them and accept them for who they are and help them. We all know people like that. We can all picture in our minds who should be sitting in these seats. All we have to do, in many cases, is invite them. You don't need to have all the answers. All you have to do is ask if they'd be interested in coming. Well, what happens if they say no? You wait a little while and invite them again. If they say no again, you say, hey, I don't want to bug you, but you know the invitation's always there. You've planted the seed, you've done your part, and don't stop with just one person. You know, one person says no, you ask another. There's people out there hurting who need help, who need to feel the love that we get to feel and enjoy every Sunday. The world is full of hurting people. And we're called to help them. You know, in my industry, I think the statistics were that before you got one person to say yes, which equaled a car sale, you had to get 10 no's. It was something like that. Now, that may not have been 10 different people, but you heard 10 no's up to the point you got a yes. And I wouldn't ask our salesman, hey, how many cars did you sell today? Because that really didn't tell me how hard they were working. I'd say, how many no's did you get today? And oftentimes they would just grin and smile because they know they hadn't worked hard enough to even get the no's. So don't be afraid of the no's. If the good salespeople looked at each no, they would celebrate a no because they thought, well, I'm just one more no closer to yes. So let's change our thinking. See, I noticed, I started to figure out when I just stopped focusing on the things. And when I say things, I'm thinking physical things, I'm thinking problems, I'm thinking circumstance. When I stop focusing on that and start focusing on people, that's where the difference is. And that principle that runs throughout the Bible of giving and receiving, it applies here. You want that closer, intimate relationship with God, you help somebody else get it. You want that healing in your life, you bring someone to a place of healing. You want that hope, that security, that peace, you help someone else find it. And you won't just get back what you gave. You'll get back over and over again. Don't stop at the cross. Guys, can I have my photo up, please? That young man's name is Caleb Luke Kozer. He was not prompted to pose like that. He's a bit of a ham. Not sure where he gets that from. Probably his great-grandmother, Gigi. And I don't know if you can read his shirt, but it says, someday, I'll move mountains. Okay, he's 2.5 years old. Ron put something on social media. It was a scripture verse dealing with moving mountains, and I made a comment on there. I did not show the picture, but I made a comment. I just said how proud I am of Caleb's mom and dad that they're speaking these things into his life at such a young age. My daughter wrote back, and she responded, this is one of my favorite t-shirts of his. This kid is going places and will move mountains. I was fortunate. I came up in a household where my parents did speak things like this over me. They encouraged me. They inspired help. They taught me to never give up, to always have hope. But I know many of you may not have. Or for many of you, maybe it's been a long time that you ever had anyone speak words like that into your life. But see, today things are different because today I'm speaking those words over each and every one of you. More importantly than what little old Brent says, today, because you've decided to move beyond the cross and because you've decided to move on to the promises of the empty tomb, I just picture God sitting down with Jesus and pointing at each and every one of you saying, that kid's going places. Over there's my mountain mover. Here's my peacemaker. there's my healers. All the promises are being spoken over you by a loving Father. And His Son who loved you so much that He took all your sins upon Him so that you may have eternal life. Are you skeptics like me? Sometimes I hear things like, I say, prove it. Well, maybe we'll try to prove it. Throughout the book of John, Jesus referred to God several times as His Father. Then after the resurrection in John 20:17, He appeared to Mary and He said to Mary, "Don't touch me," He cautioned, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and tell my brothers and tell them that I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Notice how this time He calls God His Father and our Father. You do have someone speaking those promises over you. He has made us to be His mountain movers, His world changers, the peacemakers, the joy givers. The cross is God's love gift to us. He's ecstatic to give it to us, just as we should be ecstatic to receive it. But He doesn't want us to linger there. He wants us to enjoy the promises of the resurrection. He wants us to live, really live, while we're here on earth. He wants us to become disciples and spread the good news. And that good news didn't stop at the cross. I hope you take seriously the commands of Jesus when He says, go out and make disciples. And with that in mind, I want to pray a prayer that Moses was told to tell Aaron to pray over the priests as he sent them out. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you for being here today. For the visitors that are here, some of you may be thinking, "Phew, I'm glad I don't go to this church." But you're here for a reason today. And that reason is because, you know, there's empty seats in the church you usually go to. More importantly, that there's hurting people all around you that need to know about the cross and the empty tomb. Thank you. Go and be blessed.